Turn your Bible tonight, if you would please, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 10. 1 Samuel, chapter 10, please. I want to read two or three verses and just go ahead and get into the thought the Lord's laid on my heart for this hour and maybe for a few more services to come. There's a phrase I want you to notice, a phrase that we use all the time. I want you to know it's a Bible phrase and a Bible truth. And I'm going to ask you two questions tonight. It's very possible that everything I say will only really have to do with maybe just one or two people. Maybe nobody. Maybe nobody. We'll see. 1 Samuel 10:24. Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people?" And all the people shouted and said, "God save the king." That's Saul, the first king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And our text says, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men," notice please, "whose hearts God had touched." We don't know who these men were, but it says that God touched their hearts. God touched their hearts. The name of the message is "When God Touches Your Heart." I am as serious tonight as I've ever been in my life. I hope you'll listen on purpose tonight. In these verses I just read, I'll give you the background and then ask a question or two and then be done. But Saul here is presented to the nation by Samuel the prophet as their first king. He's God's choice. The people have asked for a king, and God gives them a king. And it says that there's none like him. Saul had great potential. Not only was he head and shoulders above everybody physically, doubtless he was mentally as well, maybe even spiritually. No wonder then that the people here are celebrating, they're worshiping, they're praying and praising, and the Bible says they're shouting. God's given them a king. But that's going to be a big job, being the king. Ruling over millions of people. That's a big job. Did you ever try to rule over just a million people? Well, how about 500,000? I never have. That's a lot of people. Sometimes it's hard to get everybody under the roof lined up. Amen. What's a big job? For Saul, hard job, dangerous job. There's enemies out there that'll come and fight him. This man's going to need a lot of wisdom and a lot of help. And that's why this text says that God raises up some men to help him. God touches their hearts to help Saul. To support him, encourage him. So that's the context of this text. Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Now I just want to ask you tonight, has God ever touched your heart about anything? Now when I say touched your heart, I think it's interesting that it's the same word used in the Bible for the physical touch as it is the spiritual touch. It's not a different word. Because it's just as real. Just as real as somebody shaking hands with you, a physical touch is the reality of a spiritual touch. When God touches your heart, that is your innermost being, and speaks to you in the deepest recesses of your soul. It's just as real as a physical touch, and it's the same word in the Hebrew. Same word. Now, to help us understand a little bit better, you remember when God touched your heart about being saved. You remember how God convicted you of your lost and miserable and undone condition. That's what it means when He touches your heart. He speaks to you powerfully. Not audibly like you hear me. Louder than that. Clearer than an audible voice. God touched your heart. We often pray that. We say that. That's biblical. We should use that terminology and that truth. So if you remember how God convicted you, then you know what it's like when God touches your heart. He showed you you were judgment bound. He showed you you were going to die. He showed you that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. He pricked your conscience. He spoke to you and touched your heart. Now, after you get saved, God may touch your heart about other things. Any number of things. I only have time tonight to mention two. And I may only mention one. We'll see. And some more in the days ahead. But there is such a thing as God touching your heart. Number one. And as I said at the beginning, this may not apply to you. Now, this is one of those messages that the Holy Spirit might tuck away for 20 years. I don't know. All I know is I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. That's all I know. That's all I have to know. Number one, has God ever touched your heart about preaching? If He does, you'll know it. Nobody will have to tap you on the shoulder and say, God's dealing with you about preaching. Oh no. Oh no. You'll know it. You'll go to bed thinking about it. You'll wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it. You'll wake up in the morning. And the whole idea of you being a preacher will crowd out and push away every other thought. And you'll know this has to be from the Lord. I'm not trying to think these thoughts. They're just coming to me. Now, if you've heard men testify of their call to preach, you know they're not all the same. For some men, it's a process. God dealt with them for months and years. And then there are others who seem to have a more of an instantaneous call. I've heard men say, I can't argue with them because it's their own testimony that God touched their heart about preaching almost the very same time He saved them. Haven't you heard that? So, there's such a thing as God touching your heart about preaching. Did you know every man is a candidate regardless of his ability? Regardless of his education or lack thereof? Regardless of his background, I've known preachers that couldn't read. Yeah. And God called them to preach. Dr. M.R. DeHaan was a practicing medical doctor when God called him to preach in his 30s. Regardless of age, I've known God to call men when they were 60. I've known God to call men when they were 12. Young men, Vance Havner was 12 years young when God called him to preach. But he had such wisdom, you see. Age is no indication of wisdom. Do you know that? Back then, a 12-year-old had heard twice as many sermons, maybe three times as many sermons as the average 12-year-old today has. If you ever think you're super smart, all you have to do is pick up a book that's written 500 years ago and you'll realize they were a whole lot smarter back then than we are now. When I read some of those old books, I say, I'm going to try to read one page today and get through this and soak this up. Not like all this superficial material we have today. I know there are scriptural requirements for being a preacher. Now, ladies, hang on. I'm getting to you in just a little bit. You got a whole lot more to do with this preaching than you realize. And I'm repeating something I said maybe a couple years ago, but that's okay. Have you ever noticed how often the Bible repeats itself? Do you know the Bible says the just shall live by faith four times? So don't ever worry about that. Just preach the Bible. There are requirements. We know that. And guess what? God knows that. And guess what? God's not going to call a man if he's already disqualified. You don't have to worry about that. God can take care of his business. And I'll tell you something else. God's not going to touch a man's heart to preach the Word of God who is living a backslidden life and has no desire for God's Word. My experience for the last 40 years is God uses people who are already doing what they can do, who love the Word of God. That's my experience. I don't know what yours might be. I know that every Christian preaches in one sense. That is, we all witness. We all testify. We all can serve the Lord. We can teach Sunday school, etc. But on the other hand, there is such a thing as a divine call to preach the Word of God. Now, I know that's being lost today. I remember one of the pastors in this county. He openly admitted that God never called him to preach. He said, as a young man, I was deciding what I wanted to be, and I chose to be a minister. And you'd know it because a friend of mine went to that church and came in every Monday. We were in high school together and he told me what his minister had preached the previous day, and usually is a whole bunch of liberalism and making fun of Christians. There's an example of a man, a Baptist pastor, who admitted that God never called him to preach. Well, at least he was honest about it. Because when God calls a man, he'll put the truth in his mouth. Or he'll kill him one. So, there is a call. Like Amos said, he said, I was not a prophet. My daddy was not a prophet. He said, I was a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. But he said, the Lord took me. The Lord called me and said to me, go and prophesy to my people. Go and preach. We don't need no mama call preachers. We need God call preachers. Yeah. And if God ain't calling you, then stay out of it. Don't do it. I'd rather talk a man out of it than talk a man into it if he's not sure. You'll know because God will touch your heart. Yes, He will. And the impression will grow so strong you can't get away from it. And other people might even know it. Because they'll see, when you see somebody in love with this book and can't get enough of it and they want to tell it. I remember a young man came to me years ago. He said, I'm coming by. I'd like for you to go with me for a ride. I need to tell you something. I knew what he was going to tell me. He was going to tell me God had called him to preach because for the last 6 months he lived and breathed the Bible 24 hours a day. That's the kind of person God calls to preach. When I was a young man, 17 years old, started reading through the Bible every day. I loved it, couldn't get enough of it. I even went to the radio station. I said, I've got to get on the air. I'm learning so much. I've got to tell somebody. It's not enough for me to teach my little boy's class, Sunday school. I said, I need to be on the radio. So I was on the radio 2 weeks before God called me to preach. I just couldn't help it. I was overflowing. If you get in this book and it gets in you, it'll change you, friend. It'll change you. So, if God touches your heart, don't run. Surrender without delay. Don't make excuses. Don't say, I'm not worthy, because nobody's worthy. Remember that the calling of God is without repentance. Romans 11:29. That means God's not going to change His mind. Don't say, I can't. Say, I can do all things through Christ. Has God ever touched your heart about preaching? I believe a lot of men never surrender. I don't know. Only you know that in God. If God calls you to preach, it'll be a call to serve. It'll be a call to love and to study. And if God calls you to preach, you may end up 15,000 miles from here. That'll be up to you and God. You just never know. That's up to Him. And when He calls you, it'll be to preach the Word, not to preach catechisms or creeds, but to preach every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're living in a day when churches are so shallow, preaching so shallow. People have forgotten that God promised He'd bless His Word. He didn't promise that He'd necessarily bless our comment on the Word. He didn't promise He'd bless our mannerisms. He promised to bless the message. Boy, I wish some people get a hold of that. They think as long as you're loud, you're okay. Not so. It's what you say. That's the thing, the message. That's what God said He'd bless. We need preachers like Andrew Jackson said. He said we need preachers that love everybody and fear nobody. Amen. President Andrew Jackson. I'm almost ready for the second point, but God-called preachers are always in high demand. And there is something that we can all do about that, and that leads me to the second possibility tonight. And that is, number one, has God ever touched your heart about preaching? And number two, has God ever touched your heart about praying for laborers? Maybe not. If not, that's okay. If He ever does, you'll know it. I'm turning to read what Jesus said about this, and I just wish the church could recover this lost, forgotten truth that prayer provides the preachers. Matthew 9, Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore," because of what He just said, pray, what? That the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Now that's a life-changing truth if we could get a hold of it. That God touches men's hearts and calls them to preach in answer to somebody's prayer. I just wonder, has it ever been in answer to your prayer? Now, women can't preach. We all know that. But they can pray. They can pray, and God will call men to preach. I know that by personal experience. Women can pray. Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, and if that was true then, and there wasn't even a half a billion people on the earth then, how much more is it true tonight? The harvest is more plenteous than it's ever been. And where are we going to get the laborers? Where are we going to get the laborers? Do you know there are 1 billion lost Roman Catholics going to hell in our world tonight? 1 billion. That's 1,000 million. There are 1 billion lost Muslims in our world tonight. 1 billion. And still growing, fastest growing religion in the world. In China and India together, there's 1 billion. Lost atheists, infidels, Hinduism. There's 1 billion. Japan, Poland, 99% non-Christian. 99%. The United States of America has at least 200 million lost people. And so there's an urgent need. As Bobby LeMond's wife says, the need is urgent. And there are 200 other nations I hadn't mentioned, but there's almost three and a half billion lost people in our world tonight. We need laborers. The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. What are we going to do about it? Jesus told us what to do about it. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. Has God ever touched your heart about praying for laborers? Millions are going to hell. Tens of thousands of communities, no church, no preacher. We can pray. I'm almost done. When we pray, it should be more than, Lord, you know the need is great, and I pray somewhere in this whole wide world that you'd call somebody to preach so we can go and preach the gospel. That's okay. That's more than 50% of Christians ever do. How about this? Lord, I'm willing to be an answer to my own prayer. And if you can use my family, use them. That's a different matter. I know that don't apply to all of us, and maybe tonight only, maybe not even one single person here has really, God's ever touched your heart about it. But maybe He might. And I don't know any other solution. I mean, we've got religions killing us. We've got counterfeit Bibles, counterfeit churches, counterfeit preachers. The devil's working overtime. I want to tell you something too. God is still calling men to preach. At this late hour, this close to the rapture, He's still answering somebody's prayer. You'll never do it unless God puts the burden on you. You'll never do it. You'll forget it. You'll never do it unless supernaturally God touches your heart. I'm glad God's touched my heart about it in the last while. And I don't know about you. I'm just trying to obey the Bible. Jesus said, pray that the Lord will send forth laborers. So when God calls men to preach, I'm not going to be surprised. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, you answered a prayer. Amen. If God don't want you to be a preacher, that's fine. That's wonderful. Don't do it. But if He touches your heart over and over and over and over again, surrender. Do it. You don't have, all He wants is your availability. He'll tell you what to say. You don't have to make up nothing. Preach the book. And if you ever realize how great the need is. Hello, I'm preaching a book. Like it, some of you don't like it tonight. That's because the devil hates what I'm saying. Because the devil wants to continue to send the whole world to hell. If you can't preach, maybe you can pray that God will call somebody else to preach. If you realize the need, can you not look at our country and see we're going to the dogs? Our nation's going to hell, wide open. You'll never do it till you see the need, till your heart is full of Calvary love. the year 2050 is 36 years from now. I really expect to be in the millennium by then. But if not, there's going to be a need to be a man of God standing in his pulpit preaching. That's only 36 years from right now. Where's that man going to come from? My nephew went to Germany on business. He sat beside of a girl on the plane from Germany. He said, "I'm a Christian." She said, "I'm a Christian too." She said, "I'm a missionary." He said, "You're a missionary." So where are you going? She said, "God called me to not to preach, but to help missionaries." This ought to break your heart. She said, "God sent me to America. This nation is so unevangelized and so heathen. God's sending people here from other countries." We won't do it. I had heard 10 years ago that a missionary had come here from Cuba. But I didn't like that. It used to be America sending out the missionaries. Now they're coming to us. And now they're coming to us. A lady came to Percy Ray and she said, "Percy Ray, I can't read, I can't write. What can I do? I don't feel like I can do anything for the Lord." You know this story, but I heard him tell it on a tape just a few days ago. "You got any children?" "I got 4 sons. "Well, here's what you can do. You can train them boys for the Lord. Give them to the Lord. Maybe God will use them. Maybe God will call them to preach. Who can tell?" That was in Paducah, Kentucky. 25 years later, Brother Ray was back in the same area. Went out to visit this lady and her husband. Poor people. Poor people. Brother Ray said he drove as far as he could and walked the last quarter of the mile. The driveway was in such terrible condition. The house looked uninhabited. The man and his wife were moving, holding the back of chairs. "Brother Ray, it's so good to see you. And you know what? I did what you said. And one of my boys works for the Baptist State Convention. And the other 3 are preachers." I just wonder if God's ever touched your heart about things like this. Maybe not. Okay, that's fine. You can't make it happen. You can't make it happen. But I just feel like He's touching somebody's heart. I'll leave that up to you and Him. I know one thing. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. When we lived on the mission field, there was not one single Christian that we knew and could have fellowship with for 100 miles. We had to go 100 miles outside of our own church. One of the preachers came over here and he came back to Ireland and he said, "Alan, now I know what you left." Folks, if you go to hell from America, let me tell you something. You're going to burn hotter than anybody else because you've had 10,000 more chances than anybody else in the whole world. Amen, that is right. Church on every corner. access to the Bible, Christian radio, television, Christian cruises, Christian everything. I know it's not all Christian, but if you want to get saved in America, you can get saved. Especially in the Bible Belt. I'm just praying for laborers. I can't call nobody to preach. I wouldn't if I could. That's God's business. I just know what He said in this book is to pray. Pray for laborers. Thank you for your attention.